on impact of a routine opt-out HIV testing program and risk of progression to AIDS among new HIV diagnoses in North Carolina STD clinics.
Thank you all for coming this morning. I'm going to be presenting some of my dissertation work that I completed at the University of North Carolina, evaluating a routine opt-out HIV testing program in North Carolina STD clinics. There are about 1.1 million people living with HIV in the United States. About 20% of them are unaware of their HIV-infected status. These people contribute to about 50% of new transmission events every year because they cannot, without a diagnosis, they cannot engage the subsequent steps of the HIV treatment cascade. Another factor contributing to these high transmission rates is that people are often diagnosed late in the course of their infection. Nationally, 32% of new diagnoses progress to AIDS within 1 year of their initial HIV diagnosis, which means that they've been infected for a number of years before they became aware of their status and may have had many interactions with the healthcare community. This was seen in South Carolina, where among these late diagnoses, 73% of them had at least one healthcare visit that did not include an HIV test in the prior year. So the CDC released recommendations for routine HIV screening in clinical settings to reduce these missed opportunities and hopefully identify people earlier in the course of their infection. I'm going to today speak about estimating the incremental impact of a routine opt-out HIV testing program in North Carolina STD clinics on progression to AIDS after HIV diagnosis. And I have incremental highlighted here because this is a clinical setting where we did have high levels of HIV testing prior to these CDC recommendations, and I just want to acknowledge that this is an incremental impact that we're trying to detect. The data sources that I used for this analysis included North Carolina statewide laboratory surveillance, which provided demographic information as well as HIV test results, and HIV surveillance database, or EHARS, which allowed us to distinguish new from previously known HIV positive cases, as well as included information on the date of AIDS diagnosis. The North Carolina Administrative Code was changed in November 2007 to reflect many of the guidelines put forth in the CDC recommendations. And this administrative code change allowed for routine opt-out HIV testing in clinical settings. It eliminated the requirement for separate written consent and only required counseling for HIV-positive test results. And the intervention in the STD clinics included all three of these components. We conducted a before-after intervention analysis with exposure dichotomized at the date of the intervention implementation on November 1st, 2007. The pre-intervention study period began on July 1st, 2005, and during this period, HIV testing in the STD clinics was happening, but mostly based on risk. So testing was preferentially offered to patients who were MSM or had sexual risk behavior or sexual exposure to HIV, as well as provider concern or patient request. And our post-intervention period followed through June 30th, 2011. The study population for this analysis included all confirmed new HIV-positive cases aged 18 to 64 who were diagnosed in North Carolina STD clinics during the study period. And our primary outcome was progression to AIDS after initial HIV diagnosis in a short time frame. And this is often used as a proxy for late or delayed HIV diagnosis. Our base definition was progression to AIDS within 12 months of HIV diagnosis. And we also looked at some alternative definitions, including progression to AIDS within 1, 6, or 18 months after HIV diagnosis. We used multi-level binomial regression models, which accounted for clustering by county. There are 102 STD clinics, and they are in the 100 counties of North Carolina. And multi-level models allow us to account for the fact that patients within STD clinics are more likely to be correlated than patients to other STD clinics. We calculated risk ratios and 95% confidence intervals. And in this analysis, each STD clinic is essentially acting as its own comparison. So this approximates the counterfactual. So I just wanted to take a step back and give you a brief overview of our testing program. During the study period, there were over 400,000 HIV tests conducted, which yielded about 1,200 new HIV diagnoses for a positivity proportion of 0.3%. I'm not going to go into this in much more detail in terms of our HIV testing and case detection outcomes, but they are just published in the current issue of STDs. So if you'd like some more information, you can head over there. Of these new HIV diagnoses, 12.8% of them progressed to AIDS within 12 months of their initial HIV diagnosis. And this was pretty consistent, pretty even in both the pre- and post-intervention periods. Now, as one would expect, as you relax the definition for what's considered a late HIV diagnosis, the proportion of patients who fall into that category will increase. And so here you can see that if only about 5% of patients progressed to AIDS within 1 month of their HIV diagnosis, this was a proxy for almost a concurrent HIV-AIDS diagnosis, up to 15% of patients who progressed to AIDS within 18 months of their initial HIV diagnosis. So in our regression analysis, we first looked at risk of progression, the association between the intervention and risk of progression to AIDS within 12 months of HIV diagnosis, and we didn't really see much of an association at all. If you look at our alternative definitions of late diagnosis, the results are pretty much concur, although we did see a slight elevation in the point estimate for the association between intervention and risk of progression to AIDS within 1 month of HIV diagnosis. Now, if this result is true, even though it's contrary to what we would hypothesize based on the CDC recommendations and routine screening, finding people earlier, it still means that we're doing good work. We're finding people who are very late in their disease course when they do have some contact with the healthcare system. However, this could also be due to a program headed by the State Health Department in the post-intervention period that really emphasized linkage to care and obtaining lab values via our disease intervention specialists right after diagnosis. So that could have resulted in this outcome. So for the remainder of the presentation, I'm going to focus on progression to AIDS within 12 months of HIV diagnosis. And as you saw, there wasn't much of an association with the intervention, so we wanted to see if there was any effect measure modification by patient characteristics and stratified by those characteristics. So we saw that among women, the intervention was actually associated with an increased risk of late or delayed HIV diagnosis. And we looked at this a little more carefully. We saw this was almost entirely accounted for in 2008, which was the first year of our intervention. So these could have been people, sort of the low-hanging fruit, the easiest people to detect with the intervention, people who presented with advanced disease, who were not previously targeted for risk-based testing, and if they hadn't been tested in the STD clinic, probably would have shown up shortly thereafter in emergency departments or other acute care settings. We also saw some effect measure modification by previous HIV testing history, which was a self-reported measure. Among people who said they had received a previous HIV test, we found a positive association between the intervention and risk of progression to AIDS. So these must have been people who had a negative test result on their previous HIV test, otherwise they wouldn't be in our study population of new diagnoses. So these people who got a negative test result and may have continued to engage in risky behavior while delaying further HIV testing after the receipt of their negative result. And on the flip side, for patients who did not report having a previous HIV test, they did seem to have a decreased risk of late diagnosis or progression to AIDS within 12 months. These are the people who are really the target of the routine screening recommendations, trying to find people who may not consider themselves to be at risk, who may not have sought out HIV testing independently. So this is really a great achievement from their program. Overall, we saw little evidence of an intervention impact on progression to AIDS within 12 months of HIV diagnosis. We observed some detection bias, possible detection bias, due to other state programs, which may have artificially increased the availability of laboratory measures in this post-intervention period. And we did see some modification of intervention impact by gender, as well as previous HIV testing history. I just want to address some of the broader implications of this study for routine HIV testing programs. We found a low proportion of our STD clinic patients who presented with delayed or late HIV diagnosis, only 12.8%, which is much lower than the national rate of about one-third. But this is consistent with other data from other STD clinics that show that people who are getting late diagnosed are not necessarily going to STD clinics. We didn't see much of an overall intervention impact, and these results suggest to us that in North Carolina, people who delay HIV testing, this pool of people that we're trying to access with routine screening recommendations, they don't regularly access the STD clinic healthcare system. And if they're not accessing that healthcare system, specifically in the STD clinics, they can't benefit from early detection via routine HIV screening. So this is a recommendation really specific for the STD clinics. They might be accessing care in other clinical settings, emergency departments, or primary care. And I'm right on time. I just want to briefly acknowledge my collaborators, especially my dissertation committee, Peter Leone and Bill Miller, who might be here, but I can't see that far, as well as gracious, wonderful staff at the State Health Department and funding from both NIH and CDC. And now I know we're moving on to questions. So.